It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Why are public schools across America struggling to educate our children? Is it because of poor public funding, inadequate teachers' pay, not enough parental involvement, overcrowded classrooms, limited disciplinary options, or weak curriculum? Well, it could be a combination of all of these factors. A number of insiders believe that teachers' unions have been detrimental to public education. And until recently, public school teachers and employees, but here we're talking about public school teachers, were forced to join teachers' unions and pay dues to support political agendas that were diametrically opposed to their core values and principles. That's no longer the case. American teachers now operate in a changed environment that gives them more power when it comes to the unions and when it comes to educating our children. Joining me today is a courageous woman who battled the unions and won. She became the plaintiff in a case that eventually reached the U.S. Supreme Court. My guest is Rebecca Friedrichs, the author of Standing Up to Goliath, Battling State and National Teachers Unions for the Heart and Soul of Our Kids and Country. The case Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association was argued in 2016, and this was decided after Justice Scalia's death. And that meant it ended with a 4-4 decision that didn't really change the law. But in 2018, the issue came before the Supreme Court again in a case, Janus v. AFSCME, a public union case. The court ruled against forced union dues, the situation that had required public employees to support organizations that engage in political activities that are totally against their values and principles. And so today, Rebecca and I will be talking about her experiences as a teacher. She started teaching at age 28, and she can tell us how long she taught and what led her to become a champion of teachers and kids. So welcome to the show, Rebecca.
It is great to be here, Dr. Swain. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about why you became a teacher and then what led to your becoming disillusioned about what you were seeing happening inside and out of the classroom.
Well, I knew I wanted to be a teacher at 12 years old. And I just always loved children. And when I was a kid, I was always an outstanding student, but I was always confused. And the confusion was because teachers often would give us bits of information without the larger picture, or large picture without the smaller picture. So I was always left confused. And so I really wanted to teach so that I could help children to connect all the dots and to have learning that was complete so that they could walk away not only with knowledge, but empowered and really loving learning. And so those are just some of the reasons I became a teacher. And I actually entered the classroom at age 23, started teaching Sunday school as a teenager. So just this is always just part of who I am. I started to be very concerned about unions actually during my student teaching experience. I was 22 years old, had finished my degree and was working on my credential, and was learning from an incredible master teacher who really set the tone for my entire teaching career and taught me how to teach well, how to love students, how to work with parents, how to do a great job. But next door to us was a teacher who was quite abusive to the children, and she would grab them and yank them and scream right in their little faces. And they were six-year-olds, you know, first graders. And I was very disturbed. I was afraid of her, and I was her same height. You know, they were, you know, came up to her waist and were being overpowered by her. And I thought that was so wrong. And I was learning about how to be a you know, a defender of children and to report child abuse. So I went to my master teacher about this abusive teacher next door. And that was the day my master teacher sat me down and said, Rebecca, today's the day you learn about teachers' unions. And she told me how the unions, the only reason this woman was still teaching was because the unions were defending her. And then she told me how the unions were spending teacher money on all kinds of politics and policies and social issues and things with which most teachers disagreed, and things that were harmful actually to our own profession and to our classroom. So that was when I started my deep concern about unions. And then I signed my first teaching contract that very same year and told them I didn't want to join the union. And that's when I learned I didn't have to join and be a member, but I had to pay fees. And the fee, the difference between the dues and fees at that time was $50 a year. So I was still paying hundreds of dollars to a union standing against, truly against my Judeo-Christian virtues and what I believed was correct and right in the classroom. So it was from that day, day one, that I was concerned. And there were times where I was a non-member and tried to make a difference from the outside. And there were times I joined as a full member and served as a union leader, trying to make a difference from the inside. No matter what I did, couldn't make a difference within the system.
Well, let me ask you this. Why did you feel as a young teacher that you didn't need the unions?
Wow, that's a really great question. Well, when I came into teaching, I mean, there was nothing about my teaching experience that was negative except for the unions and the negativity they brought. I never even, you know, when I decided to be a teacher, when I went to school to be a teacher, union never even entered my brain. I never even thought about unions. Unions were, you know, they represented boilermakers and, you know, I never even dreamed that they represented teachers. I had no idea. And so I got in there and quickly discovered that the unions were the problem. They were never the answer, not once in my experience. And, you know, they really brought negativity and a lot of dissension and division into the teaching profession, and actually dividing parents from teachers as well. So, gosh, I never even thought unions would be a part of my experience. And it's too bad that they are.
Well, you have been quite the busy lady over how many years? Because I'm not sure. Are you still teaching?
Well, I actually just resigned my teaching position last school year. Miss my students so much it hurts. Really, truly miss my profession. It's a deep grief. But the reason I left is because somebody had to fight full time for, and, you know, be the voice for real teachers, because we've been drowned out by these unions who claim to represent us. Somebody had to start fighting for the children, because we now have these dangerous discipline policies in our schools. The unions brought those in and lobby with groups to bring those in and silence teachers. And now we can't control our classrooms. They bring in these dangerous sexualization of the children. The unions are doing that with powerful organizations, and teachers don't know they're funding that. So I just decided that someone had to educate teachers on the truth about what their unions are doing, and to stand up for the children.
Well, I certainly applaud you for everything you're doing. And you're right. Some people do have to take leadership roles, and it can call them away from what they were doing before. So we're going to take a break right now. And when I return, I want to talk about your book and about some of the chapters in particular that I think our listeners will be really interested in. The whole book is great, but for me, there were certain topics about education that I knew a little bit about. But after reading your book, I know more about them, but I'd like to hear your perspective.
Each week, the Be the People show presents interviews with insightful guests from the world of politics, religion, media, and culture. The Be the People show is on podcast. It offers bonus footage. To listen to Be the People online, go to the BeThePeopleNews.com website and subscribe to the Be the People podcast, heard also on the America Out Loud Network.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with Rebecca Friedrichs, and we're talking about standing up to Goliath and teachers' unions. And Rebecca, tell us just more about some of the teachers you've met and what takes place in the classroom. And I'm concerned about discipline, so I want us to get there, but I want to give you first an opportunity to tell the listeners what you think is important.
Well, because we brought the case against the teachers' unions, and because I was the lead plaintiff, my name and my face were out there in the public. So all of a sudden, teachers from around the country started contacting me. Most of them, almost all of them, are terrified of the unions. So they would contact me in private, and they would say things like, "I'm standing with you, I'm praying for you, thank you for what you're doing, you know, but don't use my name, don't tell anybody I contacted you." That's most of them. But I also met several dozen very brave teachers and discovered that all of them had also been fighting. They had served as union leaders at the national level, at the National Education Association, or like me, they'd served at their local and then they'd gone to state level meetings and they were shocked by what they'd witnessed. And so those teachers were willing to tell me their stories. So I ended up writing Standing Up to Goliath in order to not only tell my story of my journey, trying to do what's best and right for little children and supporting parents and families in a great education, and how I, you know, knocked straight into unions who blocked me from doing what was right. But then I weave through into my story, in and out of my story, the stories of about four dozen other teachers from around the country. And they shared things with me like in 1960s when the unions came in, that the unions forced themselves on teachers using mafia tactics, terrifying teachers and forcing them into this relationship. Then I interviewed teachers who told me about how they would try to stand against horrible policies, horrible for children at the national level of the teachers union, and they'd be bullied and shunned and spit upon and silenced. And so what I discovered, what I already knew from my own experience and then discovered from teachers around the country in every state, is that great teachers have been silenced by brute force and angry bullies who call themselves unions. And so I wrote this book to expose what unions really are. They're these bullies using teachers to actually undermine the classroom and actually to push a very radical socialist agenda into our schools and our country and to undermine our republic. And then I also wrote it to amplify the voices of these loving, caring, wonderful teachers who have fought and fought and fought to do what's right for children and been silenced by these unions.
You tell a story about attending, I guess, a national conference and what happened to a teacher, or maybe she was a union leader, who dared to ask a question.
Yeah, that was a state level California Teachers Association conference. And I was the secretary of my local union when I attended that. There were about 300 teachers in a room. And that teacher, whom I do not know personally, but during Q&A, she stood up and she asked a question. And her question was totally sensible. She wanted to know, she told the union leadership that her teacher friends were concerned that so much of our teacher money was going to fund politics, particularly far left politics. And she wanted to know what we could do to stop that, that we really wanted to just represent teachers in good teaching. The minute she asked the question, the leaders on the stage, who were from the National Education Association and the California Teachers Association, immediately bullied her to such a degree that they silenced the entire room. All 300 of us just sat dead silent. We were like little children being bullied on a playground. They bullied her to such a degree that she just sunk back into her seat. And I was so traumatized, I really wanted to jump out of my seat and go protect her because she was being, you know, gang bullied. And I was too terrified. I was stuck to my seat. And after that situation, I told God I was so sorry that I didn't defend teachers and vowed that I would never sit quiet again and that I would start fighting. So that was kind of a turning point for me.
Okay. Another question that I have with your involvement with organizing the teachers, how did you, from that point of this interaction at the conference, what were your next steps? And I'm also very curious about, when did you notice that it was part of the socialist agenda? I mean, some of us call it cultural Marxism, but I happen to be Googling, and cultural Marxism is something I've studied a number of years, and Wikipedia says it doesn't exist. It was created by the left wing, by people who were anti-Semitic. And so that's a new history of cultural Marxism that Wikipedia is pushing right now. But when did you notice that these were Marxist tactics that were influencing the teachers' unions?
Wow. Well, you first asked me about my next steps. After I experienced that trauma that day, I went back to my local union board. Most of them were at that event. We were all sitting at the same table. And I tried to talk to them about it. And I experienced what I've experienced my entire career. And that is that teachers at the local level do not agree with that angry agenda or bullying people, but they're also kowtowed. They wouldn't even talk about it. They were terrified. They just shrugged their shoulders. So I knew at that point that I couldn't make a difference from within. Shockingly, I kept trying. I kept going to school board meetings and speaking out. I kept trying to work with the administration in my district. I did everything. I worked with parents. Nothing worked because everyone is kowtowed and terrified by the unions. So at that point, I realized there was no way to fight it from within the system. And I started writing editorials in my local paper to expose what was really going on. So that was my next steps there. And then the socialist agenda.
Let me follow up. Yeah. So you wrote the opinion pieces in the newspaper. What was the reaction to those opinion pieces in the community?
Yeah, that's so interesting. Within 6 months of my first opinion piece, I became lead plaintiff in that federal lawsuit, Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association. So that was pretty amazing. We finally had a voice for teachers. But when I first started writing the editorials, what was interesting was it was the same thing I experienced as a plaintiff, and that is people would contact me privately and say, oh, I totally agree with you. Thank you for writing that piece. Or people would pull me aside at work. I read that piece you wrote in the newspaper. Thank you for that. But they wouldn't talk about it out in the open. They wouldn't support me out in the open. I was totally 100% alone. And so then when our case came, very similar experience. But now as I continue fighting this, as I resign the classroom and working on this full time, and teachers are starting to gain a voice, I'm starting to see where people are starting to push back. I had an editorial go out in Fox News yesterday about the Chicago teacher strikes, and I was just exposing what they're really doing, that they're these socialists using teachers. And I can't believe hundreds of people in public are coming out and saying, you're right, this is wrong what they're doing. They're harming our children. So the good news is that people are starting to see the truth. And things are starting to change. And so hopefully more people will find their courage and speak out and follow these brave teachers in our book so that we can stop this nightmare.
Yes. I mean, I think people are becoming aware of the leftist tactics. And the other thing I wanted you to address is, when did it become clear to you that these were socialist, Marxist tactics being used against teachers?
Yeah, I think when it became clear to me was when I was reading several years ago a biography of Bonhoeffer, who was an incredibly brave person who stood up against the atrocities in Nazi Germany and ended up jailed for it. And as I was reading his biography, I could see the similarities in the things that were done in that time, for instance, children were sexualized and teachers were indoctrinated. And the communists had a very set agenda where they took over institutions and where they rewrote history and manipulated and infiltrated churches. And that's exactly what's going on right now. These same sorts of people are infiltrating, have infiltrated our institutions, our government, our schools. And I've watched, as a teacher, I have watched as our history has been rewritten and lies are being presented and truth is being squelched. And the teachers' unions rewrote the scientific method, crossed out empirical evidence and changed it with theories. And my own children, my sons, were coming home telling me they were being taught theories as facts. And their voices were being silenced. They were not allowed to speak out. Everyone had to speak about the same leftist agenda. That's communism. That's not a free society. That's not a republic. So it was a journey for me. And I learn every single day more. That makes me feel more bold to come out and say, no, this is communism, because you have to call a spade a spade. And no surprise that Wikipedia is twisting the truth there. That's what the unions do too. They stand with some very powerful organizations and twist truth. And we need to stand against it.
Well, I can tell you this, Wikipedia and Google, because if you search for cultural Marxism, what Google brings up first is all the things that say that it doesn't exist, it's anti-Semitic, part of the alt-right and white supremacy. And that was not there a year ago. I'm not sure when they began to change that. But to me, that's an indication that they are aware that the public is becoming aware. And so what they're doing is setting up a situation where if college students or high school students are writing papers and they Google, that's what they're going to get instead of the Marxist theorists. And there are theories about how to change the culture.
Yes, you're dead on correct. And I'll tell you an experience my own son experienced just a few years ago. He just graduated from college in a college class, a science class, and the teacher was teaching climate change hysteria as a fact. And my son pushed back. He was also teaching evolution, macro evolution as a fact. And my son pushed back and he said, these are theories. And you just taught us the difference between a theory and a fact. And so I'm really struggling following how you're jumping from these theories and telling us they're facts. And the professor looked at him and angrily said, when it comes to these topics, a theory is a fact. And my son was just stunned, as were all the other students. And then when they had to write a paper, and they were supposed to write something controversial or something, so my son really wanted to write on, to push back on those topics. And the professor told, you absolutely may not write about that. He gave them a list of topics. They were only permitted to write about something from that list. And then when my son went out and got the solid scientifically backed writings and evidence to use in his paper, the teacher said, oh no, you can't use that evidence. You can only use evidence in our college database. So this is exactly what they're doing, whether it's through the internet or the college database. We're only going to give the kids one side of the story so we can indoctrinate them so they won't believe anything else and they won't question anymore. That's right. Is dangerous.
It is very dangerous. We're going to take another break. And when I return, I want to ask you about the quality of education in American schools to get your take on that before I ask you about some other topics you cover in your book.
You're listening to Be the People. Dr. Carol Swain is the mind behind Be the People news, radio, podcast, and YouTube. Be the People's mission is dedicated to empowering individuals to think independently, understand their responsibility, and believe in their unique ability to make a difference in the world. Check out Carol's work at BeThePeopleNews.com. To invite Carol to be your next keynote speaker, go to BeThePeopleNews.com. That's BeThePeopleNews.com.
So, Rebecca, when I started the interview, I talked about the quality of public education. And one thing that we can all agree on, I believe, is that our public schools are failing. How much of it do you think is related to the public funding, teachers' pay, classroom overcrowdedness, parental involvement, and some of the other factors that we're told are responsible for the decline in the quality of education?
None of those things are responsible for the decline. The decline of our education, in my opinion, 100%, is because labor unions stuck their nose in our business, and they have totally degraded the teaching profession. They have undermined our classical liberal arts education. They've removed it completely. Our education, it's been turned on its head. It's nothing compared to what our founders dreamed for this country. They set up, well, they told us there's only one way you can keep a republic, with a well-educated and moral citizenry. And that's why they built our schools on, like it or not, they built our schools on Judeo-Christian virtues. That doesn't mean they were teaching religion, but they were teaching our virtues, like put others ahead of yourself, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, or the golden rule, do unto others as you had them do unto you. Teachers believe in those virtues. And we used to have this incredible educational system that was very well-rounded and included the classics and included all kinds of accurate science and Greek, and so that children could understand the basis of our language. All of that's been removed. All of that for what the unions have decided to bring in. They've undermined our education. They've undermined the discipline. They've undermined the morality and brought in immorality. And they've literally turned us on our heads. The parental involvement is one of the things that is most concerning to me. Almost every parent I ever worked with wanted to be involved. Who was pushing them away? It was the schools pushing the parents away.
I can
not
see
the
that.
Opposite.
And you know how I can
yes.
see? I can see it with the math, because children used to bring home math that parents could help them with. And with the new math that was pushed through Common Core, most parents are not equipped to help their children.
Oh, yeah. We teachers weren't equipped either. That stuff was a nightmare. That is the worst math I've ever seen. The biggest waste of time. The kids hated it. We all hated it. And that's part of it. The unions bring in chaos and anything to undermine. But they purposely, the best way to think about the unions is divide and conquer. They came in, they divided teachers from administrators, parents from teachers, teachers from children, everybody's divided. And that's so that the unions can control and they can bring in their lies and they can bring in their, you know, deceive teachers and tell teachers that the parents are the problem and tell parents that the teachers are the problem. What we need to do is we need to all come back together again. And as I taught in a lower income neighborhood, we had 42 languages on my campus. We were a true melting pot and I loved it. And the unions come in and start dividing everybody. And I had so many parents who would try to go to school board meetings and they were bullied. They'd come talk to the principal and they were bullied. They'd want to work in a teacher's classroom. They were told they couldn't. It's the unions and their system that's pushing the parents out. So it's not a money problem. In fact, we spend more money on our schools and we're getting worse results. It's not a money problem. We need to remove the teachers' unions so that we can bring parents and teachers back together again and run our schools properly.
And in the time that we have remaining, could you tell the listeners a little bit about the resources that you offer teachers when it comes to the classroom?
Our nonprofit is called For Kids and Country, and your listeners can find us at forkidsandcountry.org. And what we offer to teachers on our website is the truth and education about what they're really funding. They can go to a page that shows them what the unions are passing at their annual meetings. And teachers can learn that, oh my goodness, every business item they pass has nothing to do with protecting teachers or helping teachers to be better. It has everything to do with radical, far left politics and dividing everyone and dividing people by race, dividing us by class. It's all the unions. So they can learn that. They can come on our website and go to a menu item called Teacher Freedoms and Protections. They can learn how to opt out of the unions. Our lawsuits have freed them. They no longer have to pay unions. They still are required to accept union representation, so they will still get bullied and they have to be ready for that, but they don't have to pay them anymore. We teach them how to stand together. We teach them not only how to opt out, but how to get liability insurance from professional organizations that will protect them if they're harassed. The unions claim to protect teachers, so teachers think they need this liability coverage. The unions only protect you if you are sued, but if your boss tries to fire you or something, they won't protect you. But these organizations we recommend will protect you in a job action. So we're empowering teachers, and we're in our website's also for parents. We teach them about the sex ed that's in our schools now and that the teachers' unions are behind it. And we give them resources on how to fight back. We have toolkits teaching teachers, answering all their frequently asked questions about leaving unions, and teaching parents how to stand up against the sex ed and things like that. So we like to call ourselves a one-stop shop where teachers and parents can go and find information that relates to how unions are destroying our schools and how to fight back and stand together.
Now, there were a couple of chapters in your book that I'm really interested in learning more about. And I know that we are at the end of this radio show, but if you have time, I'd like for you to stick around for the podcast so that I can ask you about the sex education that our children are being exposed to, as well as the problems created by racializing discipline in the public schools. And I know mm-hmm. that in Nashville, one of the problems has to do with racial disparities in achievement, but also in school suspensions. And those are things that mm-hmm. for the listeners, if you want to hear more about it, maybe Rebecca can stick around.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay. So this concludes this show about teachers' unions, and I hope it was very informative to you as listeners, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or just a student out there. There are things that are taking place that you really do need to familiarize yourself with. You can organize, you can be courageous like Rebecca. There's a place for all of us to bring about change. And it's all about us, the we the people in the Constitution, standing up to be the people who change our nation and our world. And so if you want to hear the rest of my interview with Rebecca, go to my website at bethepeoplenews.com, or you can go to America Outlier Network and listen to this interview in full with Rebecca Friedrichs, the author of this very important book, Standing Up to Goliath, Battling State and National Teachers Unions for the Heart and Soul of Our Kids and Country. Thank you. So, Rebecca, you write about sex education in public schools. What is it that parents don't know, or most parents are not aware of?
Oh, my goodness. It's child abuse. In a short statement, most parents think, you know, they trust our schools, and they think that our that when the topic of sex ed comes up, they think of the birds and the bees, and they think of what we learned when we were kids. You know, the boys were in one room and the girls were in another room, and we learned basic biology about how our bodies work. It's not that at all anymore. Thanks to teachers' unions, and teachers don't understand. They don't know that their unions are the ones pushing this, funding this, lobbying for this. We really need to educate our teachers so they'll stop giving money to these people. But they are standing together now with Planned Parenthood, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, the Human Rights Campaign, Southern Poverty Law Center, the ACLU, and the list goes on of all these very powerful organizations. And they have now brought into our classrooms something called comprehensive sexuality education. They've been pushing it through the United Nations for about 3 decades. And into our schools nationwide. This is not just an issue in a few states. This is nationwide. I talked to some parents in your state, Tennessee, where this problem is already creeping in there too. So what's going on is teachers like myself are now being told that we have to teach children their sexual rights, that we have to tell them all about every way to prevent pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases, which they now call infections. So teachers are being told to teach kids about all this, all these sexual ideas. We're being told to teach children about oral on anal sex and how to protect themselves during that. We're being told to tell them to have anal sex because you won't get pregnant that way. It's all about preventing pregnancy. We're told to use anatomically correct adult male penis models in classrooms with fifth graders, 11-year-olds, to teach them how to use condoms. We're told to teach them how to find the Planned Parenthood clinics in their neighborhood, and our schools are taking children for abortions without parental knowledge or parental permission during the school day. This is happening around America. It's been happening for a long time. And so your child could have an abortion and you'd never even know about it. The kids are being told they have the right to all these forms of birth control without parental knowledge or permission. And teachers are supposed to teach them all this. And those are just a few highlights.
Right.
The other thing that's, and the other thing that's come in real strongly now is the gender identity. We're being told that we have to tell four-year-olds and up that their parents didn't know their gender when they were born, so they assigned them a gender, and that they'll figure out their gender someday from a spectrum of never-ending spectrum of endless numbers of genders. So this is an attack on childhood innocence, on biology, on truth, on parents, parental authority, religious liberties, you name it. We're sexualizing our little kids in our schools. That's coming from teachers' unions, and teachers are funding that and don't know it.
It's also an attack on our family.
Just yes, it is. That's the goal.
Everything yes. that's made America, America, but also like Western civilization, like the family is what the oldest institution, and it's very dangerous what's taking place. And I would wager that most of the Christians in America have no idea what's taking place in their public schools. And as a consequence, the people that are pushing those radical agendas, they sort of have a free hand. And that's why it's important to support the homeschoolers, the private schools that are teaching Judeo-Christian values and principles, charter schools that are teaching, that are not focused on advancing a political agenda. There are some options, but I don't think we can give up on the public schools.
Well, it's so interesting, Dr. Swain, and I'm glad you brought all this up, because first of all, you are 100% correct that this is an attack on the family. The family is the basis, like the foundation of society. So if you could destroy that, you can take down our republic. So that's number one. Number two, the reason Christians have no idea, sadly, is because too many churches are too cowardly to preach the truth or to get involved. And that's what happened. Our churches got scared and they became politically correct, many of them, majority of them. And now Christians are ill-equipped and they don't even know what's going on. The church and the family should be the center of society. But thanks to these attacks, we are no longer. These unions and their friends want to make the schools the center of society. In other words, the government. They want everyone relying on the government. That's dangerous. You mentioned homeschoolers and private schoolers and how we have to protect all that. Yes, we do. And I'm putting out a call to all homeschoolers and private school folks who think, oh, I don't need to worry about this. My kids aren't in public school. Well, number one, we need to worry about all children in our culture. But number two, the goal of these folks is to make it illegal to homeschool and illegal to have private schools. And it's happening in places in Europe right now. They've made it illegal. So we need all hands on deck and all hands heads out of the sand fighting for our kids and for our country.
Thank you so much. And another topic that I really want you to weigh in on is the racial equity discipline policies.
Yeah, those are frightening. So under the Obama administration, the teachers unions who supported him, unions in general, gave him over $1 billion for his reelection campaign. They pushed for Obamacare. They pushed for Common Core. Those two things opened the door in the 2,600 pages of Obamacare. There's some things in there that allowed this horrible sex ed we just talked about, and in the Common Core. And between those two things and the Obama administration, they brought in these racial equity discipline policies. In a nutshell, they sent out what was called a Dear Colleague letter to all of the superintendents across the country, telling them basically that the only way they're going to get federal funding is if they bring down the number of suspensions on children of color. Now, it was not based on any fact, not based on any improved behavior, but just if your school, you know, had, I don't know, 30% suspensions, now you have to bring it down to an arbitrary 10%. And you can't, you know, suspend these kids of color, or you're going to lose money. Everything's attached to money. So schools were now incentivized to ignore pernicious behaviors, particularly willful defiance. So now, because of this, our schools have become war zones. The other thing they did was start teaching about unconscious bias. And white teachers are pulled into these trainings. Now, if you're a teacher listening and you haven't had this training yet, it's very important that you don't just go, oh, that's not true, because it is true. And it's happening in many campuses, and we have testimony in the book. Read the book first and find out the fact. Teachers get very on defense if they haven't experienced themselves, but they need to understand it's happening out there. So teachers are pulled into these trainings, and they're told, you're white. You're automatically a bigot. You can't help it. You have unconscious bias, and the reason these children of color are misbehaving is your fault. It's all your fault. So the teachers are blamed now. The children are allowed to misbehave. The last class I taught, I had so many discipline problems in my class, and I couldn't get any help. I would send them out for discipline. They'd be back in 5 minutes with a note that said, I'm sorry, Mrs. Friedrichs, I won't do that anymore, and then they'd do it again. There was no discipline. And it was all based on these new equity policies. Along with the equity policies, we have something called PBIS, which is positive behavior intervention and support. And schools have implemented that all over the country. Why? Because it's attached to money, federal dollars. And we all of a sudden, instead of giving children common sense discipline for willful defiance or for beating up a friend or a fellow student, we're now giving them all this, oh, we're going to give them counseling and all this softer approach. Well, counseling's nice when it works, but our schools are becoming war zones. The bigger the war zone, the more money you're going to get from the federal government. That's the problem. And it all started under the Obama administration.
Well, some of the problems with it, I've been told, is that in schools where they have implemented this restorative justice, you often get higher truancy rates because of the kids that are staying home. Some of them are afraid to come to school, and that the performance levels for all the students can drop, certainly in particular classrooms. So it really is not clear that it's improved education even for minority students.
Oh, no, it's made it worse. It's made it worse for all students. Teachers right now are in crisis. Every teacher you talk to who's in a public school using this sort of discipline, equity discipline, they're all saying, what's going on? Why? How come I can't discipline anymore? I can't teach anymore. Every great teacher knows that 90% of your job is classroom control. If you have the classroom under control and you have a system in place and the students are respectful and everyone's getting their work done, everyone can learn great. If there's chaos, if there's constant interruptions, no one's going to learn. So no, teachers are not aware of what happened. Most teachers don't know that this process is in place. They don't know their unions fund it, but they feel the effects of it. And they know that we're in deep, deep trouble right now. What's interesting is the teacher I highlight in the book who shares with us these racial equity discipline policies and his story, his name's Aaron Benner. He's a black man. And thank God he stood up, because everyone kept saying, you know, if I spoke up because I have white skin, I'm a bigot. But because he's black, he was able to speak out. And he tells a story of a child walking into his classroom, picking up a computer, slamming it to the floor and breaking it, running out, and there was no discipline for that child. He also tells a story of a boy, an elementary school boy, who punched a little girl in the face, knocking her out cold, and nothing happened to that boy, and the mother of the little girl was never even notified that her daughter was assaulted. And then when Aaron called the mother to see how the little girl was doing, Aaron got in trouble, and they started an investigation against him because they said he was butting in where he didn't belong. This is chaos and anarchy.
It is.
And it's on purpose. Yes, and it's on purpose.
It
and
is.
It's the unions and their friends. Yeah. Yep.
And the friends are probably Antifa.
They are. Oh, yeah. The unions are very much behind Antifa. In fact, when these teacher union strikes are called, and there's so many teachers who do not want to strike. They're out there because they're terrified and because they're so bullied if they don't go out and strike. Well, teachers are reporting to me from across the country that Antifa is showing up to their strikes. So when you see all this angry mob stuff, it's Antifa. The teachers' unions are also behind Black Lives Matter. They're behind the Women's March, those ladies in the pink hats who are all for abortion. They're behind these climate strikes and all of it. Any angry, divisive, quote-unquote grassroots movement that's marching all over our country, no, that's the teachers' unions and their friends. Who else could organize that big mob? Only them.
Rebecca, thank you so much for being on the Be the People show and sharing all this information. And I wish we had more time to cover it because there's a lot that people need to know. And your book is the place where they can start.
Yes, thank you for having me. And I do hope that they will get a copy of the book so that they can learn and connect the dots. And we ask everyone to adopt teachers. If you know teachers and love teachers, have teachers in your community or your church, put your arm around them and hand them a copy of this book, because once teachers learn the truth, they'll stop funding these unions. We've won them the right to stop funding them, but they need to know that they have the right and they need to be empowered and have people standing with them because they're scared. Once that stops, because teachers are giving these unions billions annually in tax-free dues. So once we get good teachers to stop doing that, we can turn things around. We can save our schools and our country.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we will have a link on the website so people can purchase the book.
Wonderful. Thank you.